Come plan your dream wedding all in one day at the 17th Annual Newport Bridal Show on March 3rd. Meet with more than 80 top wedding professionals at two of Newport's most romantic venues, Rosecliff and Ocean Cliff Mansions. Visit NewportBridalShow.net to buy your ticket today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of Cape Sports Now. We break down Super Bowl 53, which is coming up on Sunday. It's a big game. You know, Matt, this has almost become like a rite of passage here.
This is our first episode.
Yeah, pretty much in a way, but also just we're almost just used to this now. It's mm-hmm. third straight year the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. That just doesn't seem to happen in the modern era. And even when you look back at the great Patriots days, certainly got a lot to be appreciative of, especially since we just had Boston versus LA months ago with the World Series.
Absolutely.
So. Just a great time for all sports fans involved. So basically, we're going to do pretty much the same script as last year. We're going to break down the game a little bit. We'll talk some funny prop bets and just some other ifs and whats about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if it's your first time to the show, my name is Steve Dedarian, sports writer for the Cape Cod Times.
I'm Matt Goisman, also sports writer for the Cape Cod Times.
So, yeah, Super Bowl Sunday, we got the New England Patriots, of course, came in 11-5 in the postseason, beat the LA Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs mm-hmm. to win the AFC Championship. The LA Rams come in at 13-3. They beat the Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints in a very controversial NFC Championship. And they come in, 13-3 from the regular season. That game's going to be 6:30 p.m. Sunday. The kickoff is at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, not to be confused with New Orleans Superdome. The game is on CBS or WBZ4 with announcers Jim Nantz and the affable, I guess we'll say, Tony Romo.
And knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable, apparently. And then the halftime show for those just maybe tuning around for that will be Maroon 5 plus special musical guest Travis Scott and Big Boy. So those are the real basic facts. But certainly there's a lot of historical parts to this game, just with the history of especially the Patriots franchise, this being their 11th Super Bowl.
Absolutely, which is the most all-time. The franchise is 5-5 in its previous 10 appearances, 5-3 under coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Tom Brady. Obviously, we mentioned them making three Super Bowls in a row. That's only happened twice, I think. From 1990 to 93, the Buffalo Bills made four straight Super Bowls. They lost all of them, and then the Dolphins went to three straight Super Bowls from 1971 to 73. So these kind of things happen very rarely. The fact that this Patriots team sort of had a mini dynasty at the start of the 21st century and then 15 years later just built another one with basically just the head coach and the quarterback left over from that first one is kind of remarkable.
Right. And then also when you look at it, the whole history, it just playoff success. I mean, the Patriots were on the verge of breaking the tie with the Steelers for most wins in playoff history, mm-hmm. which is 36 right now. Another one puts them over the top. So certainly it's already a legendary run. And no matter how it ends, I mean, people are going to remember this for a long time.
Absolutely.
But this is also a rematch too, Super Bowl 36, where it all began, beating the Rams 20-17. Of course, the Rams are now in Los Angeles instead of St. Louis. So a little different this time around, and also in a sense that the Patriots are almost those hated favorites, whereas the Rams are a bit of those upstart.
Yeah, they were the greatest show on turf.
That's right.
What I remember about Super Bowl 30, their first game against each other in 36, that entire last drive where Brady engineered the game-winning drive and Vinatieri kicked the field goal, the entire time John Madden was saying how stupid it was to be trying to score, that they should just knee it, go to overtime, try to win it there. And then they get in field goal range, and the only thing Madden can say is, well, they do have the best kicker in the league.
Well, and you know what? It just shows you how different the broadcast is, because you had him and Pat Summerall, and Summerall's kind of that old school, like, let's not get too excited about anything, got to be neutral, got to be fair. And it's probably the least exciting part of the Super Bowl is the call of that one. Obviously, I think the announcers are really a little bit more pepped up now, especially Romo, who's seems to be emitting all sorts of mouth.
Himself, yeah.
Well, he emits all sorts of mouth noises when a good play happens on both sides. But hey, being a former quarterback, it's worked out, and he's definitely earned this role as the color commentator for the Super Bowl. So good for him. But this is a Rams. They're making their first Super Bowl appearance since then. Their lone Super Bowl win in franchise history was in 1999-2000, which oddly enough was also in Atlanta. That's the play where the Titans threw a quick slant and receiver reached out for the goal line and fell short, and Rams win the game under Dick Vermeil. So and a couple other kind of fun facts and figuring, the Rams coach Sean McVay has been a real, almost a model of what teams are looking for in their future coaches.
Absolutely.
I think he had eight coaches that are fired, And then when the Cardinals hired their coach, Cliff Kingsbury, the press release literally said friends with Sean McVay, not mentored by Sean McVay, just friends with Sean McVay. It just kind of shows you that everyone's looking for the next great guy because he's unbelievable. Only 33 years old, apparently remembers every play from every game this season or even past years. It's just unbelievable, that steel trap. And then you get the legendary future Hall of Fame coach, Bill Belichick, who's literally double his age at 66. Mm-hmm. And then Tom Brady, Patriots quarterback, is 8 years older than McVay.
At 41, and yet still doing pretty well.
And fun fact, too, I saw a clip of McVay actually playing a college football game against Patriots receiver Julian Edelman. Because he played for Miami of Ohio, and then Edelman played for Kent State, was a quarterback. So there's actually video of them going.
Interesting.
I think they both played offense, but still, I mean, the teams going against each other just shows you how wild that is. So.
For sure.
Plenty of local stuff, though, that circulates around the Super Bowl, too. I know a story of yours just ran today.
Yeah, so if you pick up today's copy of the paper or go to CapeCodTimes.com, you can find my story on Dylan Fasano. That's he's a 17-year-old kid from Mashpee who, through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he's on a flight now, or maybe he's already touched down in Atlanta with his whole family to attend the Super Bowl. It was a real interesting story talking to him. He's a real good kid, and I'm happy that he's going to get this experience. And then you've got a couple of stories coming out in the coming days leading up to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we kind of have done the last couple of years, you know, we interview people who are going to the game. And what's interesting now is that it's not necessarily people who have tickets. You find a lot of people who make their travel arrangements. Mm-hmm. They kind of play the market a little bit and see if they can find a good deal because, I mean, you're doling out between, I don't know, minimum $2,500, I think, for tickets, certainly up
and down. Absolutely.
And, you know, right now I think tickets are somewhere around the $3,000 range. So some people are just trying to play the market a little bit and see if they can get lucky. And someone's got extra tickets, you know, you never know. Mm-hmm. But the atmosphere down there is such that you almost don't even need a ticket in a sense that you could watch a game from just about anywhere. Sometimes the watch parties might even be more exciting than going to the actual game. So it's all about the experience and being wrapped around with all the celebrities and stuff like that. So we'll have quite a few people going, including Garen Veris, a former Patriot who played in the first Patriot Super Bowl, Super Bowl 20, as a defensive lineman. Fun fact, he actually said the year before he played in the Super Bowl, he was actually working security at Stanford Stadium, watching Joe Montana's 49ers beat the Miami Dolphins. And he was saying, you know, he had his yellow jacket, but he's kind of peeking over his shoulder, trying to get a glimpse of Montana, who's, you know, arguably the greatest Super Bowl quarterback of all time, with 5-0 in Super Bowls.
The endless debate about Montana versus
Brady. Right. I mean, we can get into that another day.
This is the same Garen Veris who's Mass Maritime, correct?
That's correct, yes. A former athletic director of Mass Maritime, lives in Yarmouth now, does some part-time work. He's 55. I think he's just trying to coast into some retirement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with him, he does a lot of appearances for the team. And he said when he was in Arizona for the Super Bowl 49, he did a couple of appearances and the Patriots, they gave him two tickets. You know, at face value, you still got to pay for them, but, you know, you're not paying the extra fees and in taxes and all that stuff on top of it. So that's how he was able to go. And he just said, you know, this year, you know, why not? You never know when this run's going to end. And that's kind of the sentiment of most Patriots fans. You want to see it because it's not going to be a guarantee. You probably won't see this stretch again for a very long time.
I would agree with that.
And then the other story, which I'm really excited about, is a father-son, Ryan and David Jones, who went to Super Bowl 36, which is the first Patriots-Rams. Mm-hmm. And Super Bowl Sunday, February 3rd, is going to be the 17-year anniversary to the day that the Patriots won their first Super Bowl. And we'll release that story on Sunday and just talk about their experience there, their experiences there, and how they got to that point, and just what's it like looking back 17 years later, witnessing history. Mm-hmm. So those are our local stories again. Check back to CapeCodTimes.com/sports for all of those. Let's get to some game coverage, shall we? Starting with the offense. Man that needs no introduction, four-time Super Bowl MVP Tom Brady. We'll give him one anyway.
Yeah.
But five Super Bowl titles, one more surpasses his idol Joe Montana for the most all-time. Last year, he was 28 for 38 for three touchdowns and 505 yards. But it ended up in a 41-33 loss to the Philadelphia Eagles. So needless to say, this has kind of been a redemption tour for Brady and the Patriots just to get back.
Especially in this postseason where they clearly were frustrated with all the commentary in the regular season that they were older, creakier, like just worse than last year, and that this was the sign of decline that everybody had kind of been chomping at the bit for.
Well, there were, because I mean Brady's turning 41, and let's face it, everybody's expecting the drop off at some point.
Right.
They just don't know when it's going to happen. And Brady did look vulnerable in some of these games, but let's also remember in the first couple of weeks he didn't have his favorite receiver in Edelman, right? He suspended four games. They lost to the Jaguars and the Lions on the road. You know, what are you going to do? Those teams kind of fizzled out anyway.
Yeah.
It shows you it's more of a marathon, not a sprint. And I think the Patriots have demonstrated that when it really counts, they're going to raise their level, at least offensively. But the big thing for the Pats is I think they got to get to the end zone in the first quarter. We were just talking about how last year was the first time under Brady and Belichick that they actually scored in the first quarter, and that was just a field goal. And, you know, that was nice and everything, but, you know, I think they really need to make a statement here that this is going to be their game. They're going to control the tempo of this one, and, you know, first quarter touchdown I think would really put them over the top there. Offensively, total of Pats are averaging 345.5 yards per game in this postseason after averaging just 266 in the regular season, just showing they've really stepped it up this year. Brady has 691 passing yards alone in the postseason. And then just a couple key notes, you know, Julian Edelman, as we just mentioned, right? He's only 46 catches away from catching Jerry Rice for most playoff receptions of all time. Like, that's pretty fascinating when you think about Jerry Rice really in a league of his own. I mean, he's not going to get 46 receptions in the Super Bowl, but, you know, if the success continues the next 2 or 3 years, no reason why he couldn't hit that mark. But Edelman's already second all-time in all-time playoff catches, and certainly he's going to play a key role in moving the chains as he did against Kansas City in the AFC Championship, especially on third down. But I think the really big thing for the Patriots, and really isn't talked about as much, is that offensive line.
Yeah, and how well they played in the postseason.
Unbelievable this postseason. Brady hasn't been sacked once. I think he's been maybe hit once or a couple times. I mean, that happens obviously in football, but this playoffs, it's just unbelievable how – you know, the line had looked pretty good all season, but they really did just take it to another level. And part of that success is shown in the rushing game, too. 176 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns against the Chiefs, who I will admit the defense wasn't their strong suit. Obviously, it was that offense that was keeping them going all year.
Definitely.
But this might be the best line we've seen, mainly because of Pats of a run-first, smash-mouth offense, which kind of breaks the mold of what most NFL teams are trying to do, which is, you know, get a mobile quarterback.
Throw it as much as he can.
And either throw it or roll out and stuff like that. But Patriots have kind of turned back the clock a little bit this year, you know, with an offense designed for ball control, keep the opposing defenses guessing, and chew up the clock, especially when needed. But when you look at this offensive line from left to right, you got Trent Brown, who's added from the 49ers. Wasn't even supposed to be the starter. The Patriots drafted Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, who was supposed to be the left tackle. He got injured in the preseason. But Brown, huge guy, biggest guy in the line, certainly did a good job protecting Brady's blind side. Left guard Joe Thuney, who actually visited the Cape back in April, came to joint base Cape Cod to do a little kids clinic for the Patriots, as did center David Andrews. So call them friends of, not the friends of the show, but friends of the Cape, you know.
Sure.
Nice, both nice guys, you know, even though they were just about a month off of a Super Bowl loss. Very nice and approachable and great with the kids. Right guard Shaq Mason, who's perhaps been the most impressive on the line this year, really opened up a lot of holes in the run game. And he's gotten, I think, a contract extension because of it. And then he had Marcus Cannon, who in the past has shown some struggles, but I think has really tightened things up this year. He's gotten a little bit of help because Patriots been using Rob Gronkowski on the line a little bit more, kind of, you know, bolster up the running game a little bit.
And he's blocked really well, and that's been a key reason why they've been able to put up rushing yards the way they have.
Right, because you really, teams in the past have just game-planned him, treated him like a receiver, basically.
Exactly.
Now you have to game plan and put big guys on him that could create mismatches. And that's what the Patriots do best. They keep you guessing. So I think that's a big credit, though, to the offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, who actually retired a couple years ago. Brady and Belichick kind of begged him to come back, and he did come out of retirement. And Brady, just this Monday, called him the greatest offensive line coach in the history of the NFL. Certainly high remarks for Scarnecchia. And you've seen the turnaround. I believe it was the 2015 AFC Championship against Peyton Manning. Brady was hit 17 times in that game, and the offensive line was a huge struggle. And in past Super Bowls, the Patriots lost, especially to the Giants, the offensive line was a huge issue. So I think this year that this line, again, is better than ever, and if the Patriots win, that's going to be a huge reason why.
I think if they can establish the run a little bit, that helps too. Statistically, they are they have a much higher winning percentage in these kind of games when they can get a rusher go over 100 yards. So whether that's Sony Michel, whether that's James White, who was kind of the hero of the Atlanta Super Bowl and owns like multiple records now for running back in the Super
receptions,
Bowl.
Receptions, I think, too.
Yeah, receptions and touchdowns. So if either or ideally both of them can have big games, that will also do a lot to hamper some of the pass rush that LA will bring against them.
Yeah, and I mean, the Patriots don't usually show their hand, even when the fullback, Jave Devlin, I know the fullback, I know, yep, at a position that's almost obsolete for most teams now. Even when he's in the game, they've put him out in the flats and thrown to him before. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a run when it's, you know, those two in the backfield. So sure, that variety has been fantastic. And, you know, the Rams will be prepared. I mean, you got 2 weeks, any team will be, but certainly I'm sure teams will pull out, you know, all the tricks, as they say. I don't think that I got that idiom right. Mm-hmm. Pull whatever out. So we'll go to the Rams real quickly. You know, the Patriots defense has given up their fair share of points in just about every Super Bowl. And I wouldn't expect this to be much different. I mean, the defense was good against Kansas City, but let's not forget they still gave up 31 points.
They did.
And, you know, Elliott was second in the league in total offense, of course, behind Kansas City. 6,738 yards total. That's an average of 421.1 yards per game. These are regular season stats, by the mm-hmm. way. They're averaging 281 passing yards through the air, which is fifth in the league. Rushing yards, they were 139 per game, which was third in the league. And then in points, they were scoring about 33 points a game, second in the league behind the Chiefs. Quarterback Jared Goff, 24, you know, it's the widest, I think, quarterback gap in NFL history between him and Brady, 17 years, actually younger than me, funny enough. He's currently working his, you know, he's kind of working his way through a cold streak. The first 11 games of the year, he completed about 2/3 of his passes, mm-hmm. averaged 9.3 yards per attempt, and he threw 26 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. In games 12 through 18, he completed 59% of his passes, just for about 6.5 yards, 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So Goff misses a lot of opportunities and is missing throws at times. And, you know, you don't want to underestimate a guy. That's kind of what happened with Nick Foles last year. But mm-hmm, he leaves a lot of plays out there and has been inconsistent at times. So we'll see what we get. I think what's interesting with the Rams is their running back situation. It almost reminds me of the Falcons when they had Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, mm-hmm. kind of a double-headed back. You know, the Rams have Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson, who have both been outstanding. Gurley, obviously, an all-pro. He said he's not hurt, but he's definitely been playing through a bit of a knee injury. But Anderson has stepped up and has been outstanding. I mean, since signing with the Rams in mid-December, he's averaging 116 yards per game. And Gurley only had 5 carries for 13 yards against the Saints in the NFC Championship. So I think the Patriots did a good job limiting running backs, especially this postseason. And I think going to force the Rams to put the ball in the air. And the Rams really don't have that much of a dangerous receiving core. They have former Patriot Brandon Cooks, who was with the team last year, got mm-hmm. injured in the Super Bowl. You have him, Robert Woods, JoJo Natson, Josh Reynolds. None of these are big-name guys. Robert Woods, probably the second-best receiver, you know, behind Cooks. Tight ends Tyler Bigby and Gerald Everett are both chain movers and threats in the goal line. So guys you got a game plan for. But I think if the Patriots make the Rams throw more than they want to, they're going to have a lot of success.
Definitely. You want to flip over to the defense?
Let's do it, yeah.
So in the regular season, the defenses were almost identical in yardage, not mm-hmm. not in points allowed, but in how many yards they gave up. LA gave up 358.6 yards per game. That's just a half a yard ahead of New England. Neither team was, you know, a top 10 defense in that category. The Pats were about 10 yards better per game in run defense. The Rams were about 10 yards better per game in pass defense. New England, number 7 scoring defense, though, 20.3 points per game, whereas LA ranked 20th at 24. Again, I mean, that's the difference of a field goal, so again, pretty close in that category. Mm-hmm. They were also both top 5 teams in turnovers. LA had 30 turnovers in the regular season. New England forced 28. Each team made 18 interceptions. And in turnover differential, so how many you force versus how many you will give up, it's the number 4 team in LA versus the number 5 team in New England. So now we're in the postseason, and the two defenses are starting to differentiate themselves. New England has 6 sacks in its 2 playoff games, which is double what LA had, but the Rams have held their 2 opponents to under 30% conversion on first downs, whereas the Patriots give up first on 40% in that situation. You look back at that Chiefs game, and in that overtime possession, the Patriots converted on 3rd and 10 3 times, mm-hmm. and they scored and they won the game. If LA puts New England in like similar 3rd and long situations, we'll see if the Pats can have the same success. LA has given up a lot of first downs in the postseason, but it seems like kind of New England's best chance is going to be to move the chains early in its downs, yeah, to not get into third and longs. That's kind of what every team wants to avoid. But against LA, it really seems like third and longs are not going to be as easy as they appeared to be against Kansas City.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. I think the Rams actually have the defensive backs and the talent. You know, former Patriot Aqib Talib,
yep,
is most likely going to be matched up either on Edelman or probably it could even put him with Gronk if Gronk is split out or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the Rams actually have personnel to really limit that and force, you know, just different plays to go to different players, like some smaller receivers like Philip Dorsett, for example.
Absolutely.
Or even just, you know, try to take that check down and limit the yardage.
Yeah, I think some of it is going to be trying to pull John Johnson III, their safety, kind of out of position a little bit and see, right, if they can at least get some single coverage. You know, he's a big interception threat downfield for them. So I'm curious how much Brady will try to test that. Mm. The players on the defense for the Rams that you really got to watch out for, I mean, Corey Littleton, the linebacker, he was a Pro Bowler for them this year. He has 19 tackles. That's the most among any player left in the postseason. He had 11 two weeks ago, against New Orleans in the NFC Championship. And Ndamukong Suh has 1.5 sacks against New Orleans. But the really scary tackle for the Rams is Aaron Donald, who is a Pro Bowler. He led the league with 20.5 sacks in the regular season, which cost opposing teams a total of 184 yards. So it's really going to be a test to see how that O-line can hold up against Sue, and especially Donald is the one who really makes me nervous. And then if Littleton is a linebacker, he's going to probably match up against either slot receivers or, you know, if they send White downfield for a pass. So how those kind of guys can get open against him, that's another big matchup that's going to determine the outcome, yeah, of this game.
I do like the Patriots matchup, though, usually because they've handled good interior linemen, I think, in, yeah, the past, and these guys are mostly interior linemen. I mean, they could mix and match a little bit, but I think what's given the Patriots problems in the past, and this is more when they had Nate Solder's left tackle, mm-hmm, is the pass rush coming off the edge on Brady's blind, yeah, side. You know, Super Bowl 49, Michael Bennett was giving the Patriots all sorts of issues. Mm-hmm. Eventually, they figured it out, but you know, when you look at how the Patriots have played, and I guess I'll use the Texans example, when you get guys like Jadeveon Clowney and even, yep, J.J. Watt, in the past they've been able to handle all pro guys like that, you know, Pro Bowl caliber players. So mm-hmm, certainly they have to focus on them because you don't want them, you know, get mixed matched with a guy like Littleton coming up the middle and you got to only block one.
Definitely.
But certainly I think the Patriots are going to have a good game plan, and I'd be more worried if the Rams had stronger guys coming off the edge versus up the middle, which, right, I think they've been rock solid this year.
And I think one of New England's best defensive weapons is an edge rusher. It's a defensive end, Trey Flowers, who really has played well this postseason. He had a sack, a tackle for a loss, and two quarterback hits against Kansas City. He led the team in the regular season with 7.5 sacks. I look for him to try to get going. I also really like how Kyle Van Noy, the linebacker, has been playing this postseason. 14 tackles in two playoff games, 92 tackles in the regular season. New England put a lot of pressure on Mahomes and the Chiefs last week. They had 4 sacks, 5 tackles for losses, 10 quarterback hits. If they can get that kind of pressure on Goff, they can definitely disrupt Los Angeles's offense. But if it comes down to the New England secondary, I think it's going to come down to guys like safety Devin McCourty, Stephon Gilmore. How they hold up will determine LA's lack of success in the air. Gilmore has the team's only interception in the postseason. He had 20 passes defensed in the regular season, which led the team. You know, we all remember Malcolm Butler's game-saving interception 4 years ago against the Falcons in the Super Bowl. Maybe it'll be Gilmore's turn to make big defensive play.
I don't think people's in hearts can handle something like that again.
Yeah, it was a pretty intense final minute there.
I think that was like the biggest game's odds swing in like NFL history. Just the, yep, odds of a team winning just completely turning on one singular play. I mean,
also, I just said Falcons and I meant to say Seahawks. Well, I apologize.
That's fine. Yeah, I think that'll just about wrap it up on the defense. This is a little bit, I mean, you could break down the facts and figures and the analytics to the cows come home, but those are the real basics.
Mm-hmm. I think New England hasn't given up a sack or maybe just one to an interior lineman to what you were talking about earlier. So, yeah, the defensive strength of L.A. is going to be going against the offensive line strength of the Patriots, so it's kind of a strength-on-strength situation. Yeah.
I think it's a situation where the Patriots are really going to have to run the ball and run it well.
Yeah.
because, again, if they're behind and they have to start slinging the ball, that's going to be a lot harder to do from down from behind mm-hmm. against a very talented Rams secondary that's going to be ball hawking and be looking to turn the ball over. So
definitely.
I think, again, that goes to taking the early lead and being able to have that flexibility and play calling for as long as you can in this game. Mm-hmm. But if it does come down to a two-minute drive, what quarterback would you rather have under center?
Without a doubt.
So let's do some fun prop bets here. Sure. You know, according to the New York Post, I saw a headline the other day, $6 billion is going to be – that's billion with a B – is going to be placed on Super Bowl bets this year just by Americans alone. Mm-hmm. Never mind worldwide
yep.
in the audience that watches this game. The basic line, Patriots are favored by 2.5 points. For those of you who don't understand, that's Patriots start the game, subtract 2.5 points, and at the end – whatever the final score is, if they cover that,
right.
they win. If not, no, then not. First half, you can bet on the first half, apparently, which is a half a point. So mm-hmm. basically pick whoever's going to be leading in the yep. first half. Patriots are minus a half point. So I guess if the Rams are up by 1 point, or if it's tied, the Rams get the win there.
Yeah, the Pats are expected to be leading in the first half is what that means.
Yes.
And they're expected to win by at least a field goal. That's what the lines mean.
There you go. Over under, 56.5 points. Just based on what we've seen in the past and how the NFL is going, I would bet the over all day long.
Yeah, I actually probably would too.
It could be a low-scoring game. I mean, you never know. The coin toss, I say it every year. I'd always want a camera in Vegas when the coin toss is going on for the Super Bowl because it's the one thing where it's total luck. There's no mm-hmm. talent. There's no outside factors involved. It's heads or tails. Patriots will call it since they're a visiting team. The fun fact, Matthew Slater always calls heads.
Yep.
And he's called two of the biggest coin tosses in franchise history. Called it Super Bowl 51. Patriots got the ball first, scored, won the game. Didn't give the Falcons a chance to score. And then same thing for the AFC Championship against the Chiefs. Called heads, won the toss. Patriots go down to score. So mm-hmm. there's no doubt that Slater will be calling heads. So maybe that affects bets. I don't know. All we know is that the team that's won the coin toss, the opening coin toss, that is, has lost the last four Super Bowls. So.
True.
Maybe that's the one thing you don't want to win on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I think if it's a choice between winning the overtime coin toss and the opening coin toss,
right.
it's way better to win the overtime one.
Much. And the Patriots have almost always deferred anyway and go on defense first.
Most teams, I think, defer.
Get the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
National Anthem's going to be by Gladys Knight. You can actually bet the over-under on the time. That's a 1 minute and 47 seconds last I checked. I don't know. I feel like for a big game like that, it's... You bet the over, just people, it's a drawn out.
Well, wasn't it?
You don't want to screw up the lyrics, so you want to take your time.
I think wasn't it Alicia Keys a couple of years ago who, like,
probably broke the record or something like
that. Yeah, it felt like she sang for an hour approximately.
There's a lot of individual player ones you can bet on. So I think the Patriots, like, for the first score of the game, first touchdown of the game, Sony Michel's like 6-1, Edelman's 10-1, Gronk's 12-1. My favorite, and if you're really a degenerate out there, throw some money down on JoJo Natson, a Rams receiver, who's going off apparently at 200-1 to get the game's first touchdown. You know, the Patriots have been known for taking away your best player.
Yep.
So who's to say you don't get another guy trickling out of the backfield who just catches one in the flats and runs it in the end zone? Place $5, you get $1,000. Sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah.
You can also bet, you know, stuff like who's going to make the first catch. Will the first pass be complete or incomplete? You could bet the longest or shortest field goal made, the longest 47.5, and the shortest 26.5. You can bet money on who's going to win the MVP. Patriots kicker Stephen Gostkowski is off at 100-1 on that. Same with Philip Dorsett, Rex Burkhead. Brady, I think, is even money. So, I mean, you're not going to really win any money betting on Brady to win the MVP.
Has a kicker ever won it?
I don't think so.
I remember Desmond Howard with the Packers won it as a punt returner, but
right.
special teams, no. I think that was the only special teams MVP ever.
It's
awarded.
Almost always offensive defense. I mean, yeah. He had Malcolm Smith from the Seahawks who won as defensively
right.
for Super Bowl 48. And we've seen Brady, which is kind of cool. Even when he wins Super Bowl MVPs, he did 49-51. Mm-hmm. They get some kind of truck or something like that. And he lets the real hero of that game, Butler and James White.
Exactly.
Because what does Brady need?
I'm pretty sure he can afford as many trucks as he possibly wants.
You can bet the over-under, you know, if a quarterback's going to throw for over 325 yards. Again, I almost bet the over on all these things.
Too.
I mean, the odds change, too, so you got to put these bets in now. And then here's an interesting one. Will a team lead by 10 points or more? That could be an interesting one. You know, you never. Not
yeah,
quite sure.
I kind of want to say, yeah, one of the teams is going to go up by 10. I don't know if I think that team will then win, but 10 points I could see happening.
Right.
I mean, the Patriots have certainly fallen behind by two possessions, I think, in each of their last two Super Bowls. So.
Right. You know, it's all fun stuff. And, of course, you'll have plenty of friends and families doing squares, as always. You know, get the last point. And the thing with the squares, though, I almost feel like it's more fun when your team isn't playing in the Super Bowl.
Because then you don't care.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
You just want people
you
to
just want the score. Right. I mean, you don't care who's getting it. So, you know, it's a lot of fun, and if you do gamble, please do so responsibly. As
and
drivers,
legally?
Yes. Well, you can go to
I don't know what that means.
I think you can go to, I think, Twin River now in Rhode Island. I'll give them a plug, I guess. Not that they need it, but pretty sure you can make legalized sports gambling there. So, but yes, please gamble, drive, and handle yourself responsibly out there.
Absolutely.
We're not responsible for any losses that you put on prop bets,
yes.
Especially the coin toss.
Exactly. Have fun, but be responsible at all times. And I think that'll do it for this special episode.
Unless you want to make your prediction live.
Oh, I don't know. The kid I interviewed yesterday didn't want to do that because he's superstitious. It'll affect the outcome. I think I'm going to do the same thing.
Sure. I mean, you can read our predictions. They're going to be in the paper Sunday,
true.
I believe. So I have an atrocious playoff record, so don't be surprised. I think I'm 3-7 in playoff picks. So
I've been pretty good so far. So
yeah,
maybe I'll get lucky.
It's the opposite because I was good in the regular season.
Yeah,
so.
You beat me in the the pick 'em competition.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, if you miss any of this show live, you can check it out on our Facebook page. You can also go. I believe it'll be up on CapeCodTimes.com/CapeSports now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm Steve Derderian. You can follow me on Twitter at Steve_Derderian. DERDERIAN.
I'm at Matt Goisman, CCT, MattGoisman, CCT. You can also download this episode and all episodes of Cape Sports now through podcast apps for Google and iPhone products. Thanks a lot. Go Pats, and we'll see you next week.